What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope? Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. We know what it's like because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
Well, hello, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on ye old broths. My name is Ronnie. I'm your friend, Ronnie. And that's my friend, Ben, over there, who's also your friend. We're all friends, guys. Hi, Ben.
Unfortunately, everyone, I hate to break it to you all. I'm everyone's enemy today. Yes. I'm Ben. Hi, how's it going?
Welcome to your show, Ben. Welcome to your life. Ben Mandelker, welcome to your life. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. It's a Below Deck podcast day. We're very excited to talk about that. Come see us in Europe, London, Birmingham, Dublin. Any of you out there? You coming? We're going to be there. So should you. We're going to be there in May. Get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. We're also going to be in LA for a small, intimate little gathering, a little show we're doing at the Kookaburra Lounge in Hollywood for the Netflix Is a Joke Comedy Festival. Also available on watchwhatcrappens.com, as well as links to our Patreon, which is where you'll get this video, all our videos, and our bonus episodes. This week, we are going to do a trailer trash preview of The House of the Dragon Season 2, which is coming out soon, and we will be recapping for Wondery Plus on our show called Winter is Crappening. What do you think of that? That was a mouthful. I'm lisping more than usual today. My tongue has enlarged in my mouth for some reason, and my face looks like raw meat because I went to a severe microneedling session with a girl who is lovely but must have had a terrible morning because, good God, she stomped on me. Look at me.
What's it? Look at me. Was it the queen from House of the Dragon?
No, she did a great job. And I'm going to look like a fucking baby next week. So enjoy this meat face, everybody. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm so good. I'm feeling very fulfilled. I've been like making healthy choices over the past 48 hours, which is so rare. I made lentils. I did yoga. I did Peloton. I'm feeling like I'm doing the right things in life. Which means that probably the second half of this week will be a shit show.
Which means we're nearing wreck time, okay?
Which means like, oh, that's how you always know I'm about to go traveling again, because just as I establish good habits and routines, I leave, and then it all goes to shit for then 3 months.
So I like it. I like that you can think ahead.
Yeah, so it's a little insight into my life right now.
I'm the opposite. I'm like, we're going to be traveling to Europe. I'm going to eat all of the processed foods I can because I'm not going to be able to get corn syrup for a while.
Yeah, I had to buy a new piece of luggage when I was in New York because my other piece of luggage broke. And so I was like, okay, so how's this going to fit? And then it turns out that European airlines have different standards for overhead and carry-on than American airlines. And so, of course, American airlines allow for lots of big stuff, but European is like small and petite. So now I'm like, oh my God, like I'm already thinking about what am I going to pack and how am I going to make it last and how is this going to work and how's it going to fit in the bag? And should I do carry-on? Should I have something that I check after all? But what if it gets stolen? But why am I thinking about it getting stolen? Don't be such a nervous Nelly and yada, yada, yada. So yeah, I'm going down the path.
Yeah, that's a spiral. It's going to be a month-long spiral. Yeah. Coming to you next on Watch What Crappens. Coming to you for the next month on Watch What Crappens.
Exactly.
Slowly spiraling day by day. What am I going to plug my computer into? How do plugs work?
Got to get your adapter. Make sure you do that.
Today, guess what, guys? Today we have an adapter for those of you who need to bridge your citizenship from Housewives world into the Below Deck world. And that adapter is Jill Zarin.
Jill Zarin.
From Real Housewives of New York, possibly one of the most grating human beings to ever be born onto this beautiful planet of ours, okay? I think no matter what part of the world you're in and no matter where we hope to travel, you would probably find this woman extremely annoying. And that brings us all together, guys.
Yeah, but you know, the episode ended and my reaction was basically like, God, I love Jill Zarin. Oh, God, I just really enjoyed her on this episode. To me, it reminded me of, like, the first two seasons of Roni with this overbearing Yenta, who I was like, everything about her should make me just irritated with her. But I just leave being like, I really enjoy her. I'm like, I don't disagree with anything she said. Is she totally overbearing? Is she totally excessive? Yes. But I was like, but she's not necessarily wrong. Was she wrong? Were any of her notes wrong?
I'm not even saying wrong. I'm saying terrible. You know what I mean? She's just terrible. I'm sorry. She made me realize what a quiet area I live in. I remember when I first moved to the country, I couldn't sleep because my ears would ring because it was so quiet at night. I had to use white noise and stuff to go to sleep. And once I finished watching this episode, I started getting tinnitus again. It's like, wow, it's really quiet without Jill Zarin talking. It's too quiet. Like, I can't handle it anymore. That's how much she gets in your fucking way.
You know what we need? Why aren't there forks here? You know what we need? Something to wipe the spots off of the forks. I'm sorry I'm complaining, but you know what? It makes it better. That's why people have me around.
She really was acting like she was on some show, like on the Travel Channel, if that even still exists, of like where you go onto a yacht and you fix it up. She was really thinking, it seemed like she thought she was the host of some other program. It was too much. But the thing is this, is that other yacht charter guests that we've seen on all these shows come on and they complain about things and they're very either condescending or they're passive aggressive or they're just like mean. And she's just like, no, let me just tell you, you should do this. You should fix this and it'll be better. That's all. And I kind of just appreciated her directness, just sort of like, yeah, you should do this. Put out some crudités. That's, you know, that's all I need, some crudités. You know what? A good yacht has toiletries over here. You know, I was like, I liked it.
I know. I've been everywhere. Okay, well, let's get out. Let's get into it. So I did not notice this line last week, but when Zandi gets all pissed off at the end because Sunny is crying, thinking that Zandi is flirting with Ben, and she's going off about how annoying this girl is. She goes, like, catch me outside. I'm done with this shit. Yeah. I was like, yes, catch me outside.
It's nice to see that.
I didn't catch Zandi saying that.
Yeah, it was not what I would ever expect Zandi to say. And she says it in such a low-key way, in her Zandi way. Catch me outside. I'm done with this shit.
Catch me outside. I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, I love Zandi. She's great. And I feel like she's so patient because she is like a first stew who is just like stuck in the third stew position, basically. And she's just like constantly dealing with idiots.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to it. It's dramatic music and Ben and Sunny have just had a little spat. And he's like, I'm touchy with her, but it's not sexual at all. Let me look deeply into your eyes while I kiss you. And then outside, Zandi is talking to Fraser. And she's like, why do I need to change myself to make a two-year-old kid feel better about herself? Because that's the thing with two-year-old kids. You have to be nice to them because they're babies. At least that's what everybody tells me. I will argue with a fucking two-year-old. I don't care.
I don't care
how old they are. If you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah, I've argued with them. I will argue with an old person. I will argue with a baby. Because those are two categories of people that I don't feel like will beat me in a fight. So
I got news for you.
I've
been beat up by a two-year-old.
I famously got into a fight with an elderly lady at the pool at LA Fitness once. But if you put me with a lady who's maybe like, you know, from age 18 to 67, I'm not touching them. Not touching.
Wow. Elder abuse.
They can all be.
I love it. I love that we're opening with elder abuse.
I have to go. Listen, it's like the laws of nature. You got to go with what you can get. You got to pounce on what you can kill.
So meanwhile, Sunny is now doing that thing that really makes me crazy, where she is now in bed with Ben, apologizing to Ben after he was just all over Zandy to make her jealous. What the fuck is wrong with this girl? Okay.
I can't stand it.
Also, Ben, did you read this thing that Ben put out where he's like, oh, I'm super disappointed in Captain Carey for suggesting that, you know, I didn't know how to dock a boat. This could ruin my reputation in this industry. Like, he's coming out, like, trying to come against Captain Carey. You fucking moron. How do you think that looks in the industry? Yeah. Captain Carey has been nothing but nice to you and gave you an amazing fucking opportunity. And now you're shit-talking him. And then Sonny's under there telling people off in the comments. You sound like an ugly troll. You sound like an ugly troll to be mean to Ben.
Come on, Sonny.
Like, oh, God. Sonny, you're a goddamn mess, okay?
Ben, that is so ridiculous, especially because Captain Carey could have hired another bosun and demoted Ben back down into deckhand. And he didn't. He actually has let him, like, maintain that opportunity. And so he's going to say, like, oh, Captain Carey made it seem like I'm not, like, qualified. That could have, like, no one's listening during those scenes because they're all the same. It's always like, if we don't get this boat right into the slip, not only will it sink, but it's attached to the docks and it could cause all the other boats to sink as well. We got to get this. You know, it's fine. It's fine. We docked.
Yeah, he hasn't said anything. He said, I don't know if he's ready or something like that. He doesn't know if you're ready. He's just trying you out. That's the whole point, you ass. And then he's worried about how he's going to look in the industry. How do you think it looks? And you're coming out with this the week that you're fucking your subordinate on TV.
Like, yeah, and you're concerned about how your professionalism. You don't like your professionalism questioned.
If you were professional, you would say, listen, I didn't mean to flirt with her or hurt your feelings, but I'm your boss now, and I should probably not be fucking you on national television at the same time. How about that?
This guy, talk about a fragile male ego. This is the guy who actively undermined Jared was not great, but he actively undermined him too, and even undermined Sonny as well. And then now he is going to complain that he feels a little undermined. I mean, talk about someone who is really only concerned about himself.
Yeah, he's gross. So Sonny's apologizing to him, going, it's not on you. I'm so sorry. It's not on you. And he's like, you need to trust me, which no, you don't. Are you an idiot? Don't trust him. And so they start making out. And I just wrote you because that's how I feel. Gross.
It's a big ew.
I'm grossed out.
It's a big ew. So then Zandy is like, mic drop for some reason.
Because she's just told off Sunny in her mind. She's like, I'm not taking care of 2-year-old. Mic drop. Catch me outside, mic
Remember
drop.
Remember when I said that? Catch me outside.
Mic drop.
So So then Kyle comes up behind Barbie in her cabin because they're sort of flirting and everything. And she's like, I'm actually going to bed, actually. So, like, don't touch me. Oh, actually, that feels great. Because then he starts to massage her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, their low wattage romance continues.
They're simmering, if you will.
Simmering.
And so Zandy goes to bed and she's like, 30 years old and I'm involved in child's play. And then Kyle wakes up Barbie in the middle of the night with his snoring. And she's like, okay, then get the fuck out now. You can get the fuck out now. Okay, just shut the fuck up. I heard you snoring right now. Go. Just go. Go.
Yeah. And he's like, Barbie and I have formed a relationship of that, I'm sure. But is it a friendship? Time will tell.
Your Kyle voice. I feel like a tingle of joy inside when I hear it.
Well, it's basically me doing this guy Anton, who's on Love Island, and he was Scottish. So I'm just doing Anton's voice. I'm like, well, they're both Scottish, so they sound exactly the same, right? So I'm so upset we're not going to Scotland on our tour.
Hey, we've got time.
We can go back.
Well, we could just go there.
We could just go.
I mean, I don't really understand geography or where anything is, which is why I've made zero plans, zero travel plans.
We could theoretically just go up there after Birmingham. Like, nothing is locked in with any of our...
We can do whatever we want.
We can do
anywhere
it.
With
we
internet, Ben. Anything.
We can go everywhere in Europe, guys.
Yeah, we can do everything everywhere all at once.
As long as there's some laundry, by the way. I'm gonna need a washing machine at some point. As in, like,
I'm taking Tide Pods and I'm counting on sink water. I'm just going to wear the same thing every day so I don't have to carry anything around. Okay, so it's 7 a.m. and it's 31 hours before charter. And Barbie's like, oh my God, are you still here? I'm not a morning person. Don't even fuck with me, Kyle. It's like, I was just saying good morning. She's like, die, Kyle. Just fucking die. I told you don't talk to me.
I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm literally gone. Brigadoon. See you in 12 years. Now we see, okay, so Dylan, the new guy, in case anyone didn't listen to our Vanderpump Rules recap or whatever, for some reason that is still yet to be explained, Dylan showed up on Vanderpump Rules last week, like a day after he made his debut on Below Deck, and still very impressed.
Can I ask why everybody is so shocked and thrilled that this happened, that somebody from Below Deck showed up as a background character? Why is that so weird to people? I mean, it's like a lot of emails about, I just don't get why it's so weird. I mean, they met probably at BravoCon or something, and then they hung out for a drink or something.
Because,
I
mean, deckies in America linger in Fort Lauderdale. They hang out there, they become friends or whatever. It's just weird that there would be a deckie that makes their way to Vanderpump Rules, you know, and most people that hang on to Vanderpump Rules people tend to just be in West Hollywood trying to make it as something, you know?
No. You know why? This is why I'm not surprised then. I see what you're saying. I totally understand what you're saying. Because nights that I've been to Pump, I've met Below Deck guys there. They all hang out with those. All the tall ones, Alex, hang out together.
Alex from season one, I think, works in Marina Del Rey. I think he even was like friends with Kristen. He may have even shown up on Vanderpump Rules at one point.
Yeah, they're around more than you think, everybody. But anyway, Dylan's there probably because he's like, I work out. So I'll be there. I used to be the fat kid, but I'm not anymore. Now I'm thinner than everybody. I can't wait to be in West Hollywood. It's going to be amazing. It's great.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at the at your ominous warning. They're around a lot more than you'd think.
They're Below Deck men everywhere. Like, Below Deck people are everywhere.
This is going to be like an article on Collider that's going to show up on Facebook. Below Deck men are around more than you may think. Here's what to look out for.
Yeah, they're everywhere. When I saw them at Pump, it was Below Deck people, Vanderpump Rules people, obviously, and The Bachelor, a couple of The Bachelor guys. Oh, I was like, oh my guys, God, yeah. what a STD Latin crew. Like, that's, I know. That is a crew to have some hand wipes around.
Yeah, could definitely use some Jill Zarin tips on how to keep that area spiffier.
The tip, specifically. Tips on the tip. So Zandy is talking to the captain because they like love each other in the mess hall. They love having conversations in the mess hall. Yeah. And so he's like, just checking in on you. And she's like, I'm good today. You know, I'm in a good mood because I don't know why. I think it's because before I went to bed, I was feeling stressed and then I dropped the mic.
Catch me outside. He's like, all right. Well, that's all I like to say. Benny disorida yakala. That's what we say in Turkish.
Is that catch me outside in Turkish?
Sure is. I think it is. Or maybe I just ordered a bagel. Either way, I'll accept it.
So he helps her unpack stuff, I guess, and they're stocking the kitchen. And then Barbie and Sunny are talking, and Sunny's like, oh my God, I need to get a fucking grip, huh? And she goes, You seriously do? You think people are chasing Ben? Ben, seriously.
And then Sunny gives us one of these annoying monologues where she says, when I have a couple of drinks and alter ego comes out, her name is Sabrina. She's a jealous bitch. The guys I used to date were like little assholes that would cheat on me, and Sabrina's like my little protective shield. But get her out of here. Tequila Sabrina. No, goodbye. Okay, she's not your alter ego. She's you. Okay, just so you know, that's just you. And second of all, she's not your protective shield. What should be your protective shield would be higher standards or therapy.
Yeah, I would say it's not your alter ego, it's your ego, and your protection needs to be condoms, because you do not need to be Xeroxing Ben for this world, okay? And also, speaking of Vanderpump Rules hangers-on, Tequila Sabrina, no. That's we have one Tequila Katie, ma'am. That's all we need, okay? Goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye. Well, I mean, it's just like the way, just when people do this, like, I have this alter ego, like, I've got Beelzebub. Nzim, when people do that, it's just their way of actually abdicating any sort of responsibility for their actions, because it's like a funny thing, but it's like, I just become a different person. And it's like, I can't control, like, whatever I do, I'm not responsible for, because that was Sabrina and that's not Sunny. It's like,
yeah,
no, it was you. It was you.
No, but that's, I mean, that's a legit thing. That's why you should murder people drunk. And I always tell my nieces, you know, here's some advice. Don't murder people sober. You have no excuse. I mean, when you're drunk, you can be like, oh my God, I became Sabrina. Sabrina's been through a lot of shit, you guys. You want me to tell you what Sabrina's been through? And then you can unload all the shit you've seen on Lifetime movies on Sabrina and get off, probably, or like, at least get a suspended sentence or like a lighter sentence. But kill people sober, you're fucked.
Sabrina, the low self-esteem witch. That's what you call her.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Now we're in the mess, and Barbie's like, hey, Dylan, how are you? He's like, amazing! I'm amazing! How are you?
High five.
I'm amazing.
High five. High five.
High five. Let's give high fives. And she goes, I'm not really that fucking amazing. I'm hungover. So then Fraser is in bed and he's like, I am so hungover.
Look at me. I'm a hideous, disgusting, awful, fat mess. And I'm hungover. Awful. So then Sunny goes up to Zandy and Sunny's like, oh, I just want to apologize. And Zandy's like, it's okay. It's okay. I was irritated. And she's like, I know, but there's no reason to be. I mean, does anyone actually ever want to fuck that strange green bean of a man?
And Ben is eating, watching them. He's like watching them try and get over the drama that he helped cause on purpose. He's just like sitting there watching it like it's a TV show, you know, which it is. And Sunny's like, but I'm sorry though. And she goes, you're good. You can catch me inside. Okay. She's like, oh my God, thank you so much.
She actually caught me while I was outside. So we're all good.
We'll find out.
So then Ben's giving instructions to the deckies about things, you know, wipe this, pull the anchor here. And then Fraser is just like hoping that he has a stew that comes in but they haven't heard anything about any new stews. And then Captain Carey is talking to Norma Dundee and he's like, oh, I need a new stew. Could you please send over some resumes? Thanks, mate.
All right, I'll get right on that. I've got a gal named Sheila and a Sheila named Sheila and then another Sheila named Gal. Who'd you like to see first?
All right, we got a new stew. Her name is Nicole Kidman. She really takes any role these days. Will you accept her? She's like, we come to the yacht for the experiences.
So now Sunny and Kyle have small talk. She asks where he's from. He's from Edinburgh. And he's like, me and my mom bought an Airbnb north of Scotland. Have a room upstairs. Haven't seen my mom in a donkey's ass.
Say that literally. Every day I'd wake up, I'd go and see the donkey and be like, is my mom in there? Never in there. Odd.
We used to have a donkey, actually. And if you looked at its ass close enough, you could see my mom. Miss that donkey.
My mom raised me until I was on my own until I was 5. And then my stepdad popped up. And then my biological dad popped up on Facebook when I was 15, right? And I spoke to him for maybe a day. And then I realized, hey, fuck you. It's not up to you to jump into my life whenever you feel like it. So I told him to fuck off. And my stepdad isn't dad. He adopted me.
And, you know, Facebook, man, I feel like so many guys from Below Deck are going to be using Facebook in 10 years to be like, hey there, it's me. How's Alaska going? Just wanted to check in on you. I've been trying to call you for 10 years, but really haven't had service. Greece not the best on boats, so hope you're doing great. Maybe we can catch some coffee sometime.
What if this is one of those strange multiverse time traveling things and Jared is actually Kyle's father? And he's traveled back in time.
Kyle's like, we bought a room. We bought an Airbnb with a portal to Alaska, where I've been raised.
Oh, it's all sorts of funkiness. So it's like Jared went back in time, but Kyle also had a portal across the world.
I go back there once a year just to see if the cricket rings.
I was a big fan of watching the movie The Bear growing up. So I sometimes go to Alaska through my portal just to see if there are any bears that want to chase me around.
So he has this like deep story, and then Sunny's like, I'm from Canada and I went to boarding school. He's like, oh, fascinating stuff. Your mother, Do you ever see her in the ass of an animal?
She's like, actually in a moose. In Canada, it would be a moose. And I actually have. It's weird.
So Fraser is talking to the captain about the stew. He's like, are we getting a new stew? And he's like, it's a busy season. It's out of my control. How's the chef doing? He's like, oh, I think he's just putting too much on his plate. No pun intended. There's a shit show in there. Filthy, filthy, floor to ceiling filth. Everywhere I go, I just can't handle it. I'm doing so much. I'm doing so much delegating. I simply do not have anyone else to delegate to.
Well, you know, chefs are artists, and they can be quite sensitive. I had a friend of mine who came and worked for me. She was a mess over a mole being in the house, okay?
But I don't know what that means. That's what I heard, too.
I went back like 5 times. I was like, what was in her house?
She's a mess over the mole being in the house.
Was it a mole? Yeah, there was a mole in the house. Maybe that's an Australian saying, like, oh, it's... Like, if you're in over your head, you say, oh, she's got a mole in the house.
Sheila's got a mole in the house. I'm going to look what it says. It's unusual to find a mole in the house, but it does happen. Moles create complex tunnels underground. Okay.
But the thing is, they're on a boat. There's a mole on the yacht, dear Liza, there's a mole on the yacht, dear Liza, a mole.
These are all about espionage, everything I'm reading, because, you know, the mole. Okay, or Gretchen Mol, who, you Gretchen know, was Mol. Always like, oh my God, this is the up-and-coming actress of always. Our time. And then it's like, I mean, great job on Boardwalk Empire 10 years later. Why haven't we given Gretchen a chance? I love Gretchen Mol.
Well, that was the issue that my chef had. She was in a mess over the fact that Gretchen Mol never became a thing. And I didn't see what
if
the big deal was.
If she had to make one more quesadilla for the Gretchen Mol that never showed up to Taco Tuesday.
I didn't see what the big deal was. Starlets come, starlets go. I mean, whatever happened to, you know, Maria Conchita Alonso, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't give a
how
fuck.
Dare you? How dare you ask? Fucking love Maria Conchita.
How about Valeria Galeno?
All right, that's a better question. I'm not offended by that
Claire
one.
Claire Duvall.
But here's the deal. My chef friend was very upset about Gretchen Mol still being in a house. And I didn't see what the big deal was. I didn't give a fuck, actually. And guess what came from that? I ruined a friendship. I can't even get a text back from Gretchen herself. And it's because of the pressure that I put on her. Now, Anthony is a great chef, and I don't want to ruin him. Mostly because he looks like the guy from Traders, and he was great on The Good Wife. So I don't want to mess that relationship up, too. Listen, Gretchen Moore may not call me back, but the MC from Cabaret, goddamn will.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes when I look at Anthony or Chef, I wonder, was he ever left in the middle of an automatic door at the supermarket as a child? Feels like those doors closed on his face a few times. Am I right?
What the hell? What did Anthony do?
He has a lot on his plate. That's what he
just
did.
Just slipped right into straight up Anthony abuse.
He has a lot on his plate. Servings are too big. Too much food. They're too heavy. Stews can't lift it up the stairs. There's a mole. Gretchen Mol has a petite woman. She eats small things. Can't have too much on her plate.
Right. I'm going to end this segment now, all right? This segment is now over, right? Call Norman Dundee.
Like Gretchen Mol's career, this segment's over.
God bless her. R.I.P. Gretchen. All right, so the chef is now in the middle. Now he's in the kitchen, and he's like, it is the middle of the season, now I'm tired, but revenge is my biggest motivator. And then we see a clip of him getting nagged over stuff. Like, no fish. Your kitchen is filthy. What have happened to Gretchen Mol? Gretchen Mol? Gretchen Mol? Since
he's
I was
working
kid,
on a screenplay. It's like, this will be a vehicle for Gretchen Mol.
Since I was kid, a bunch of motherfucker make laughing at you because you don't know how to read. It hurt me inside. It's part of dyslexia. It makes this job more difficult. And what's a shame about it is every time I write it down, no one can understand what the hell I'm trying to say in my art. So I had to cook. And this is what you really have to love what you do. I cannot give up. I cannot give up. I just cooked that salmon backwards. Damn it!
And then we just see him washing out a trash can. Lou, that revenge is coming in strong.
They're such assholes on this show, the editors. You have to love what you do. Do not give up. Spraying down the inside of a trash can.
All right, everyone. I want everyone. I need Ben and Fraser and Anthony. We're going to have a preference sheet meeting, or as I like to call it, Gretchen Mol is preferred not to be in Hollywood at this moment. Hollywood has a preference sheet meeting and Gretchen Mol's not on it. That's what I meant to say.
Gretchen Mol is on the cannot haves. All right. She's right next to gluten. She's in between gluten and dairy.
What's all the right. opposite of a primary guest? That's Gretchen Mol. She ruined my friendship with my chef friend, so I'll always have a bitterness towards her.
All right, now, everyone worked extra hard on that last charter. I'm extra impressed. Now, Melinda Springer, she was a former cruise director. And Fraser's like, oh, my God. He's like, well, her husband is Noah. And then we've got Gary, who's a fashion executive, and his girlfriend, Jill Zarin, one of the original housewives of New York.
And Ben goes, she looks like a housewife. Well, congratulations. Get ready for... You think that... Based on the girls that you're into, you think that... I'm flummoxed.
You don't even know how to react to Ben.
I'm like, I'm turning to Shannon Dorr. You don't even know. You think that Camille and Sonny are going to keep looking like this for the next 40 years of their life?
And Fraser's like, I know who she is, but he says it in a way like he doesn't know who he is, and it disappoints me. And Fraser. I think Fraser needs more gay education. Who does that?
People who talk about Gretchen Mol. I know who she is. You don't know who she is.
You don't know who she is.
She was on Night Court. You
know? No. That's like what I say about Olivia Rodrigo. Like yeah. When I first heard an Olivia Rodrigo song, I was like, I know who she is. And I was like, I don't know who she is. And then I Googled her. And then it wasn't until a couple weeks ago that I was like, oh my God, she's amazing. Because she came up on my feed and I was like, hey, lady in the computer box, who is this? And she's like, Olivia Rodrigo. And I was like, no one ever told me I would fall in love with fucking Olivia Rodrigo like I have. Mm. And now I just play her on nonstop loop.
She's so edgy, Olivia Rodrigo. She has so many things to say. She's like angry. She's going to speak up.
Sarcastically.
She's going to speak up.
Love her. Okay, so Jill Zarin's coming. No one knows who she is, which is hilarious. And then they want to play pickleball because all these guests met playing pickleball in the States. And Fraser's like, may I ask, what is pickleball?
And Carrie's like, well, it's tennis for rich people. So Gretchen Mol doesn't play it. High five, anyone? No? By the way,
tennis for rich people. I love that this country has not been affected. This is like watching a zombie movie where they're like, oh, it's just affecting America. And they all think that they're safe until that one fucking zombie floats over on a leaf. And then, boom, they're all dead, you know?
By the way, you know what's tennis for rich people? Tennis.
Tennis. Yeah, tennis is...
Well, you think... You're seeing Sal Molinari from the bodega going to Wimbledon?
Yeah, tennis is for rich people. Pickleball is tennis for... lazy people. It's for people with bad
Tom Schwartz. It's for Tom Schwartz.
Yeah. It's for the Rams of the world.
Yeah. So Melinda is allergic to everything. Everything. But
by the way, I just felt all the pickleball people get upset. And guess what? I'm not afraid of you because I know you're not going to chase me with your lazy asses. Okay, Ben, go ahead. Continue.
I'm literally not starting a war with the pickleballers. Pickleballers. Okay. I'm a team tennis. So Melinda, the primary, is allergic to everything, and she's a vegetarian who is now integrating fish, but she doesn't want raw seafood, which is like funny because it feels like this person is very health-minded, and yet raw seafood, I feel like, is the healthiest of the seafood in my mind.
I mean, if you really think that mercury is a building block that we all
need. It is. Just ask Jeremy Piven.
Noah doesn't like meat or fish, and Josh doesn't like vegetables. You know, how do we even still have chefs in the world? I would just fucking quit at this point. I would
just serve matzah. Just be like, everyone, here's some matzah. You get it for the next 3 days, and that's it.
Hey, everybody, here's your bowl of yeast with some raw tuna on the inside. Fucking die, okay? I just want to watch you all fucking die.
Honestly, you could probably just make pasta the whole time. Just pasta.
So, but then there's also someone who's gluten-free and dairy-free and egg-free and yada, yada, yada. But they also want a pina colada-inspired birthday cake. But they also want a traditional birthday cake. Because the pina colada one, I think, has to be gluten-free and egg-free and fun-free.
But and dairy-free. And dairy-free. Just don't eat a cake. How just about that? Just have a pina colada. Have an apple.
Have a
fucking apple. Don't make somebody do that for you. That's just fucking ridiculous. And I know people have allergies and this and that. No one has all of this. This is a bunch of bullshit. This is some first world privileged bullshit. And if you really do have all of these things, then have the decency to be embarrassed and bring an apple. That's what I say.
And bring an apple. I say just have a freaking pina colada at that point.
That has dairy, unfortunately.
Well, then... I mean, probably, but I don't know, pina colada inspired cake. I don't know. I think it's too much. So, of course, Anthony's stressed and he's like, every person is different. Maybe it's not real. Oh, fuck. It's real. It's real. Oh, no. Oh, no. So they want to have a pickle. They also want to have like a beachside pickleball experience, which is weird to me because... Don't you have to bounce the ball? You can't bounce it on beach, right?
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know what these people are playing. Yeah.
And they want to do a sunset yoga flow.
But also, you know, they're trying to get rid of pickleball in communities. Have you read this? Like a lot of communities are fighting back because all these house community neighborhoods or whatever are putting pickleball courts in there. And it's making the neighbors crazy because it sounds like it's not, that sounds more like tennis. It's a horrible, horrible sound. It's like a. Over and over, and it's making people fucking crazy. So of course these people want to go to someone else's beach where everybody else is trying to relax and make the most obnoxious sport sound of all time. Just choke on your fucking pina colada cake. I can't with these people. I already hate these people. I don't even know who they are. So then they want their friend is going to be teaching them the sunset flow. How's a person with sunset flow hanging out with these difficult people? It's not working. Your yoga is not working. I'm telling you that.
Listen, this is clearly a case where casting cobbled this charter together. Like, these people are not all friends. Like, you cannot tell me that Jill Zarin is friends with these people. Does not make any sense.
Yeah, we met playing pickleball. All right, so now it's bedtime, and then they go to bed, and then it's the morning, and we get majestic music. And it's because Dylan is working out in slow-mo. Dylan, poor Dylan, his insecurity is delicious to me. I love it.
His insecurity is wild. We'll get to it in a moment, but I knew there's a scene that's going to come up. I was like, oh, I bet Ronnie just let out a belly laugh at that scene. So
I'm literally dying watching this guy. I think he's the best comedy on TV. He's what Los Angeles does to people. And I'm not saying he's from LA or he's to LA or whatever. Just in case people are ever wondering what that experience is, if you're not someone who works out or is known for a good body or good looks or whatever, and you go to LA to be in that industry, this is what you become, this kind of person.
Yeah.
He's just like completely crazy and he's completely mentally fucked for the rest of his life. And it's, you know, it's a study. It's a study, guys. Study
up. We saw this last season with that guy, Tony, who also was like, but I have to wake up at 4 a.m. because I have to work out. If I don't work out, I'm sad. And he was like so whiny about it. But like Dylan somehow is even more extreme than Tony is. So, and then he's like, oh, I love the feeling of getting a pump. Like, that feeling is the best feeling. Like, and you get to feel so confident in yourself. High five to myself. Ha ha. It's just, like, truly annoying.
I love me. Oh, my God. And then he kind of messes up a weight as he's bragging, which was funny.
Yeah.
And then the chef is talking to himself. And he's like, I do not know what to make. I do not know. Because how can he? You know, he's completely fucked.
Yeah.
So then we see him slowly start to unravel as he's thinking over the list. And then we go to the mess. And Dylan comes in. And he's like, the protein. It's almost done. I'm scared. Where's the protein? And so he's like, there's protein bars there. So he reads the back and he's like, 3 grams of sugar, 14 grams protein. This is honest. This is honest protein. High five, protein. High five.
Oh, geez. So then we go to everyone's cleaning, and then now, like, Captain Curry is like, Ben, Curry, let's do a walk around. Okay. Well, there's nothing left on the counter like last time. And this part was all shitty, but it's better now. Good job. All right. There's dust. There's a mark. Okay. There's a footprint. All right. Pretty good.
And then we start getting the Captain Dad jokes. He's like, all right, let's get that in the Christopher Walken. It's right. It's wrong.
And then Dylan's like, oh, I love stairs. I want cabs because they're doing provisions. So he's like, he's like the only one who's actually happy to be carrying, lugging in provisions. It's like, I've said it a million times. I cannot stand when they show provisions because I imagine myself being there, having to bring in the provisions. And you know, it's hot and you're carrying boxes and it's just like endless and endless. And you're so not into it. And then you walk by someone and they're like, just a few more. I'm like, I don't want your optimism right now. This is what I hate doing.
I know. I don't want people's optimism either in general. I just think it's so gross. It's such a gross lifestyle. I mean, you guys do you. I'm not going to try and pass laws to legislate against it, but it's gross. So Captain and Fraser, Captain's like, so you checked everything? Not the sink. And there's paper in the trash can already. What's up with that, bro?
Well, you're looking in very fine detail today, Captain. I don't know if I need that. And he's like, oh, more detail every time, mate. This was broken last trip. That's not fixed yet. Make this toilet paper better. Do better, Fraser. He's like, I'm definitely feeling a stew down. It's not the level I like to work at.
But that's also because I'm a hideous, hideous, disgusting human being. So then...
Where does Fraser's insecurity come? I forget.
I don't know.
I forget.
He just mutters really like withering things about anyone, and if he doesn't have anyone to wither about, he just withers about himself. Like he will often be like, I'm disgusting.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So the captain, he's like, all right, everyone, it's game time. Guest arrival in 15. Gretchen Moore's stardom arrival. Never.
So now the song is,
get out of my way and stay out of my way and get out of my way.
And slow-mo, the guests start coming up the dock. And we hear,
are we ready to have a good time? Yeah, we are. Hell yeah, we are. Can't wait to make that sound on a private beach, am I right?
Hi. So it's this group of like young people and then like Jill and her boyfriend, Gary. And hello, welcome. Welcome. Here's your chief, Steve Fraser. He's going to take you on a boat tour. And I'm sure that none of you will have anything to comment about. So enjoy.
Oh my God, as they go, Jill has a comment literally about every single thing. This boat is spotless. Good job. Oh God, this is the hot tub. I love a hot tub. Let me put my finger in this hot tub. Ow, ow, ow. This hot tub is so hot. Can you turn it down for now? What if we come out to the hot tub and we happen to burn ourselves? I don't like that. What does this window look down into the bedroom? I'm not going to have that. I don't like people looking at the bottom of my feet. Could you put that on the sheet? I don't think I remember to put that on the feet. Can someone write that down on the sheet that I don't like my feet? Okay.
Feet, you know, it's very dangerous to have this window that goes right into the window because you get the UV rays. And if you're lying in bed, you're not going to remember to put on your suntan lotion. So is there any way to put a top over this? Because otherwise it's very dangerous. I'm just giving you some notes because I just want this to be the best yacht for you guys, you know, going forward.
And Fraser's like, and this is your entrance into the primary, and here's everything you really need, the bar. Right, that was a joke. You can all laugh now. Now, we all understand there are quite a few dietary restrictions. Oh, it's not me, Fraser. Don't worry. No one's going to go into anaphylactic shock or anything, okay? The worst that's going to happen is they'll blow up and float away because of the gluten, which could be hilarious, you know? Which reminds me, do we have any strings that we can kind of tie these people to chairs with? Just in case they start to go, we'll hear the chair clinging on a bar or something on the way out.
You know, I don't know. Like where I live, that we have a Thanksgiving Day parade. So I'm very used to this. Things inflating and floating down the street. Okay, so I'm just giving you some of my experiences and want to pass it on to you so that way you know what to do. I love the way she said anaphylactic shock. There's something about Jill Zarin when she says words with lots of syllables in them. They just are like so amusing to me. I just remember there was one episode of Roni early on where she went to a protest at the UN. And it was about Iran. And there was the leader of Iran at that time was something, I forget his name. It was like Ahmadinejad or something, or Ahmadinejad. I just remember her saying,
Ahmadinejad? I remember, but I forget. But I remember hearing, and I forget at the same time.
Yeah, he was a thing. He had the beard and everything. And like, he was always in the headlines. And just hearing Jill Zarin saying his name always amused me. She's like, oh, this is Ahmadinejad. I don't know, her with syllables, it's just like a thing. I can't describe it. I love when she does lots of syllables. So when she said, well, then no one's going to go into anaphylactic shock, I was like, yes! It's a Jill Zarin big syllable
word. It's like they're playing her greatest hits for you. You're just in ecstasy in the front row. You're like, yes, a multi-syllable word! Yes, multi-syllables. Jill! You're wearing a Jill Zarin shirt.
I am really standing for her today. Can't explain.
So the captain's letting Senny call departure, and then we get some Senny background.
Oh, God.
Well, first Melanie's like, oh, look at all this food you guys have out on the bar. That's cool. So which are the gluten-free things? The nuts, Melanie. The fucking nuts, okay?
So Sonny, so Captain Carey's going to have Sonny, like, have a bigger role than usual for leaving the dock. So this is what launches her into her backstory, which is, my parents grew me up very comfortably. And, like, I lived outside Montreal, and we had a boat. And water's definitely my safe space, even though I could die in it. But it reminds me of
literally the unsafest safe space I've ever heard of. You know what my safe space is? Beds of knives. Love to just...
You know what my safe space is? Bare wire. After I've washed my hands.
Yeah. Open charges. Okay, sorry, Ben, go ahead.
So she says, in university, I didn't know what to do with my life, so I really tried to figure out myself in those years, and that really damaged my self-esteem. But yachting was that door that, like, opened up to myself, and my confidence has skyrocketed. You crawled into bed and apologized to Ben when he was the one who messed up. So let's rethink that.
Your confidence needs some work, okay? So she does great, you know. And Dylan is saying things like, oh, you want me to get the ropes? Sounds Gucci. Sounds Gucci. High fives. Oh, my God. It's this fucking guy.
Can't.
So then Dylan is now kind of mansplaining a rope technique to Sonny. He's like, this is called a capstan. People call it a winch. A winch is on the side and capstan isn't on the side. Do you understand? High five. High five. Give me a high five right now. Right now. Right now. Do you need a hand with that? Do you need a hand with that? Should we hug it or high five it? What do you want to do with that rope? If you could take that rope to lunch or high five it, what would you do to it?
How many calories are this rope? Just wondering. So...
Let's taste it, shall we? Oh, why did you let me taste that rope? Oh.
I mean, the good news is the rope is high protein and high in fiber. But I think it's a lot of calories. So she's like, no, like, no, it's fine. Like, I'm a girl on deck and I got to prove myself, you know? It's like, no, you don't. You ain't got to prove shit, girl. High five. High five. Come on. I need to burn about 3 calories. Come on. High five me.
Did you know that high fiving burns calories? Yes or no? So then Jill is like, oh, my God, let me tell you something. This ice machine, not great. It's not the best. Okay. Take this ice, dump it out. I need different ice.
I need Jill Zarin and Heather Dubrow to have an awful off. Like, I need them to both be on this boat and they can both complain about, like, ice cube sizes. Because Heather Dubrow also has an issue with, like, ice. Doesn't she have, like, very specific tastes about ice shapes, right?
Yeah, remember when she got her gigantic ice machine? Doesn't it make, like, huge balls of ice? Like, weapon size ice.
Yes.
But Jill likes different. She likes smaller ice, so they wouldn't get along, which would even be better, you know, if they like different kinds of ice. So they were making everybody make them each their own kind of ice.
I know. It's just, we've talked about this, the Jill Zarin effect, and how we always have two different reactions because you are brought back to your days as like being a waiter in New York, right? And you dealt with Jill Zarin's and it was like a monstrosity. And for me, it takes me back to being just like, you know, a Jewish kid in Westchester. And like, this is just like how you heard people talk. This is just the way people communicated. So when she says, you know, I have to tell you, this ice machine, not the best ice machine. It's just like comforting to me. It's just so funny because they're so, I just feel like, my mom doesn't talk like that, but I just feel like I was around just Jewish ladies. I don't know how, maybe it's at Hebrew school. Maybe it's just at family functions or whatever, but you're just around voices like this. And just that, the way that it's not someone saying, oh God, this ice machine sucks. It's just, you know what? This ice machine, not the best ice machine. It's like these little micro Yelp reviews. They just
right,
crack
but
me
the,
up.
You're right that I am triggered because of waiting tables because I'm Southern and I'm gay. And so I'm all, no matter how I talk here, my real personality is always trying to please people, right? So, and I'm I'm a fucking waiter. So I want to just get it right. And in the South, even if you fuck something up, if you just go, I'm sorry, people are like, no, you're great, honey. You do a good job. I mean, that's how people tell you suck here. They literally say, bless your heart, you know? So I'm used to like being validated, even if it's not true. That's just how it is. And in New York, you never get that validation. No. It's always, it could be better. How was your meal? It could have been better. You know, this was fine. Like the pizza was fine. But the crust, it wasn't as crunchy on the outside as it could have been. It's been crunchier before. But you know, before I had it, it was crunchier on the outside. But then the cheese was kind of raw. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you're putting these directly in the center of the oven. Can I see the oven? Is there a chef here that I could talk to? You know, it was like constant. And no matter what you did, it was, even if you knew they loved it, they ate every last bite. It was never good enough. And so that's what Jill brings me back to, you know?
I know. And like for me, I find it to be so amusing. Like it's so amusing. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's comforting, because it's like, again, my mom and my aunts, you know, they never were, they're not like this. Like they're not like feh, not the best ice machine. They're not like that at all. But I think I've just, you're just around and somehow like it has soaked into my life. That when I hear, like, you know, when I hear like a Jewish woman talking in this sort of way, which theoretically it's not a Jewish thing, it's a New York thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't want to make it sound like it's a Jewish thing, because people are gonna be like, Ronnie's hating on Jews.
I never looked
at it like that. I just looked at it as like an older lady thing. It's not a regional thing either. It's like an older New Yorker thing. Because
Ramona would do it too.
A city thing.
Yeah, so I'm going to divorce it from saying, like, you know, I just associate it with Jewish women because of my life. But I don't want to like engender any like anti-Semitism.
It's not that. It's just a New York thing.
It's like a New York regional thing, Long Island, New York. And I don't know, it just cracks.
But Jersey's not like that. I have to say, Jersey's people aren't like that. Because when they would come over the bridge or through the tunnel, whatever it was, they were like, it's great. Everything's great. It's fucking great. It's fucking awesome. All right, just get out of here. Just get out of here so we can keep talking, you know?
Oh my God, you look so cute. Get over here. Sit on my lapses.
All right. So Jill's other part of her personality. So she likes crazy eyes, and she also likes Diet Cokes done a very specific way. So she's got Barbie running up and down these stairs. So Barbie goes to get her new ice, and she's like, Jill, do you like this ice more than that other ice? And she's like, yes, this is nugget ice. I approve of nugget ice. Okay, go tell everybody on board. Do you have the sheet? Do you have the sheet here? Will you write it on the sheet? All right, you know what? Follow me around with the sheet as I come up with things. We're gonna just keep adding to that. Nugget ice. Okay, number one.
And Barbie's like, yeah, Jill is the primary in her own head. And then we see Jill say, you know what? I don't care about anyone else. My Diet Cokes go in the freezer. And then Jill is so proud. She goes out to the other guests and goes, guess what? I don't know. This cracks me up. I don't know. She's like, guess what? I just taught them how to make a Diet Coke.
I just taught him how to make a good Diet Coke. It has to be cold soda with nuggets.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Julia Child. She cracked the code. I don't know. She's so proud that like she figured out the best way to do that Diet Coke. And she goes and advertises it to everyone.
She's going to be one of those benches with names on it in Central Park. It's like Jill Zarin. Taught the world's how to make a good Diet Coke.
She's gonna get a Medal of Honor from the president. She's gonna be at the Kennedy Center Honors. Like, taught the world how to make good Diet Coke.
So on other parts of the boat, Dylan is breaking down on the inside as he does push-ups off of things, which I love. And then Fraser and Chef are talking dinner, and the chef is like, okay, I'm going to do shrimp cocktail, whole lobsters. And Fraser's like, not a good idea. They don't like scallops.
They don't like lobster, actually. Instead, they're going to do scallops.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. And so he's like, oh, God, chef is overwhelmed. He's definitely losing focus. What's going on here? And the chef's like, I have tofu. I could do tofu. And he goes, okay. And then what's your old-fashioned cocktail? Is it the crudité? Mm-hmm. And he's like, and then I'm going to do two cakes as well. Welcome to paradise here. It's going great.
Chef, you do realize you're sauteing your sneaker right now. Oh, God.
It is not shellfish.
It's not lobster.
I'm feeding him rubber because it's not gluten. So a water toy prep. So Jill's telling Fraser, so how was your trip last week? Did you have a nice group? Oh, they were nice. That's good. That's good. You know, listen, out of all these people, all that I know is Noah and Melinda. But Melinda's father, let me tell you this, come closer. He invented the Moderna vaccine. I'm not fucking kidding with you. Huge. His father's huge. Okay. Yeah. Don't cough around him. I'm just warning you, don't cough around him. Okay, he'll have you injected with monkey blood trying to find a cure for whatever you're passing around the boat. All right, I'm just warning you right now.
God, she will literally gossip about anything to anyone. She's like, service worker, come over here. Let me tell you something. That person over there, her father invented the Moderna vaccine. And that one's father is a lawyer. Yeah.
Listen, Noah's father, everyone's kissing his ass. I wouldn't trust him, not because I don't trust vaccines. He doesn't like nugget ice. Okay. Don't go near him.
He drinks Asicola. We're trying to change him.
So now the chef is making a pina colada cake with tofu. Sounds delicious. Fraser is talking to Barbie about decor, and she's freaking out because it's just they still don't have a stew. And then Jill is like, so, Captain, look at that. That's an island, right? I know what an island is. So which one is it? Because listen here, I've captained a boat myself, okay? It wasn't a boat like this. The fastest I ever went was Newport. The farthest I ever went was Newport. But I wouldn't go to Nantucket because it's just too much openness there. Okay.
Also, I heard from a very good friend that they do not have nugget ice on Nantucket. So why even go? I have to say, Gary, not the best island.
This is why Gary marries a nag, because he needs one. Okay, so they're getting on water toys now, and Ben goes, all right there, Gary. Now, this is the pulley through the water thing. That's what it's called. It's the technical name for this toy. Now, be careful. Keep your dick out of that hole. And then Gary gets on it and goes, oh, okay. Oh, wait. I got my dick stuck in the hole.
Gary literally just cheated on Jill Zarin with the C-bob.
With the C-bob.
All right, Captain. All right. Ben to the wheelhouse. How's it going, Ben? He's like, well, it's been tough. I can't do everything. I'm going to have to put more responsibility on the crew, and I can't take it. And he's like, all right, well, put more responsibility on Dylan and see if he can handle it. All right. Like, I saw him the other day. He was balancing a stack of protein bars on his nose like a seal. So I know he's got some skills in him.
And then someone's asking Drew, Dylan outside, what his position is. He's like, I'm deckhand, but I think I'm going to be lead deckhand. Yeah, I have the same experience as Ben. So basically, I'm already it. I'm the captain. I will be the captain. Hold on. I'm just going to put my ankle behind my head. Felt good. Felt better. High five my own foot.
Does this mean that we're setting up a scene where Ben promotes Sonny over Dylan, and then Dylan is salty? Or is it going to be that Ben promote Dylan over Sonny, and then Sonny's salty because Sonny is sleeping with Ben, but then the new stew comes and Ben has eyes for the new stew. What do you think is going to happen? Which way is it going
to
go?
I do not care enough about these people to make that. I will say that he can't really give Sonny, he can't really give Sonny the raise because he's banging Sonny. So, right.
Yeah. Well, this is why I don't know, because
I saw that movie with that redheaded actress where she was the conductor. Tar.
You mean Fraser?
I saw that movie, and you know, you better be careful when you're banging the help, like who you promote, because it can ruin your life. Okay. Yeah. And also, don't bang the help. Okay. How come it's so serious in that movie, but has Below Deck just not had Tar yet? Have they not shown that on y'all's TVs yet? Okay. You need to watch it.
You know what? I saw Tar.
All the people on this show.
You know what? So, guess what, Fraser? On the plane right over here, I saw Tar. Very good movie. Could have been better. I don't know. Why don't they have it take place? How about this? Take place in a restaurant. Who wants to see a symphony? That's what I say.
Listen, you're not going to be able to have a movie called Tar and then have it not be about street paving. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just lifts your expectations to a different level, and it never delivers. Like, I'm not here to watch somebody, you know, tell somebody else how to play a cello. You know what I mean? Like, where do roads come from? That's my question to Tar.
It's like having a movie called Violin, and you're watching a highway being built. You got to like make sure it matches. The title always got to match. I'm just saying this. I'm not trying to be an egg. I'm just saying this that way your next movie's better. That's all.
You're welcome. So then Dylan is talking about, it's like, look at this. Life is amazing. This is living. This is living. Look at that sunset. This is living. And I just love that he's trying to be so positive, but he's still spouting off slogans from Weight Watchers, because that's the old Weight Watchers slogan. This is living. And Vanessa Curtin, or whatever her name was, Vanessa Redgrave, would twirl around and go, this is living. And she would drop her coat and twirl around and show her newly trimmed body. Isn't that funny?
So I do remember, Vanessa Redgrave was like the big Weight Watchers spokeswoman, and she was always wearing red. So then the guys look at the sun and goes, wow, the sun is so big.
Don't fat shame the sunset, sir. One day it'll be thinner than you. It's like, oh, God. Sorry, I got angry there. High five. Push up.
So the best part about the sun is that it burns its own calories. It's so hot.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We forever love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a Cannon Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.